Hi everyone, my name is Andra Stanoyou and you're listening to the Healthy Debate Show here on UK Health Radio, the real feel-good radio. The summer is here and the temperatures are getting higher and higher each day. How do you stay hydrated? Do you drink enough water? Dehydration is a much bigger issue in the UK than you may think, as reports show that people are dying of thirst across the country. What's more is that 40% of Brits admit not to drink enough water, with 6 cups being the recommendation. My guest today is Rebecca Taylor, the inventor of Hydra Cup. Hi, Rebecca. Welcome to the Healthy Debate Show. How are you?
Hi, I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Very hot today in London. Rebecca, thank you very much for accepting my invitation. The reason why I wanted to speak with you is because I hope that Hydra Cup will help us these days where the temperatures are very high. And I hope that our listeners will reach out to you and get a bit more information about how to stay hydrated during this interesting summer times. Please tell us about yourself, your background, what's the idea behind Hydra Cup, anything that you would like to share with us that will help us, you know, understand a bit about your work.
Fantastic. We are seeing really high temperatures. And I think, you know, as the years go on, we're seeing this more and more. It's becoming a real big issue, not just for the UK, but across the world. Within the UK, we're having one of the hottest summers yet, which is something they say every year. And so it's going to continue to grow. The work we do is around looking at how we can support people in their everyday living. We really believe that hydration is a fundamental to our life. We need it to survive. Our body is made up of over 60% of water. Our earth is made up of 70% water. Ensuring that we have good, clean water, but also drinking enough for our everyday living in the UK is huge. And we're starting to see research that's coming out to actually show it's not just for the elderly or for those that don't have clean drinking water, but not having enough water throughout the day is causing significant health issues for us later down the line.
And actually, you know, you don't have to wait for long to see that lack of hydration does impact you. I find myself quite often having headaches. And once I start drinking a bit more water, I notice that the headache goes away. So the the effect is almost immediate, isn't it? Especially in these very hot, hot days. I was having a walk around London probably this week, and I saw that restaurants have thought about putting water outside, tap water outside their premises, just for anyone that walks past to have a cup of water. And I thought that's very thoughtful, because not everyone can afford water, believe it or not. Even here in London, in the UK, when, you know, you would think that the economy is doing well and people should have access to something as basic, as water. So what's behind the idea of Hydra Cup? Because you're the inventor of Hydra Cup, and I'm very, very interested in finding out more about the product.
So Hydra Cup began because I myself have an elderly relative living at home, as an awful lot of us do. I actually saw my mum caring for my gran at a real distance, about 5-6 hours away. Traveling, it was about 5 years ago, traveling up and down the country to provide care when she didn't need a full care package. And this is something that nearly everyone will have experienced. As more and more families are living apart and separate, how do we make sure our elderly are actually cared for when the care system might not be necessarily the best place for them? And I saw so many areas that her home could be improved. And from the height of surfaces to changing up routines. And one of the most important things that my mum needed to know is she up? Has she had a drink? And has she been to the bathroom okay? So I saw technology on the market that could be tweaked to actually solve some of these issues. So I started with hydration. And as I did that, I heard of a program called Think Kidneys, all about how we can improve our kidney health within the NHS, through education, and it went national. in 2017, meaning it was really high up on the agenda. One aspect of the training was around fluid balance and monitoring fluid within care. And can you believe that fluid monitoring in care is still paper-based to this day? So before HydraCare, our smart cup was created, there was no way of monitoring fluids accurately in real time, meaning care staff just had to guess as best they possibly could in a very busy environment what's been drunk, and then the doctors are expected to make clinical decisions on this. And the research shows that actually people are dying from dehydration in our hospital and care homes, that 35% of our residents in care homes across the UK are not getting enough fluids, which is having serious effect.
This is a very interesting fact. I never thought about that, to be fair. I always thought that, you know, when you're in a hospital or in a care home, you're being cared for, and kind of water and hydration comes by default. I never thought about it like this. So is it correct to say, Rebecca, that for you, HydraCup is almost a personal thing because of your grandmother and because you decided to make a change to the communities and people who are in care?
It's really personal. I also think it's personal because I might be young now, but I can see the future of when I'm old and what my care might look like because of what I'm experiencing with my gran. And actually, there is an awful lot of technology out there that can really support the proactive care and the everyday living of that person. And so I'm doing everything I can to build real healthy hydration habits now, so that when my body needs it the most, when I'm maybe struggling to detect thirst when I'm older, I can make sure that my body's working well.
So let's talk about dehydration. Let's clarify this concept for everyone who's listening. What is dehydration?
It's always good to define what we're talking about. The definition of dehydration is the condition of having lost too much water from your body. And I think it's quite an abstract concept that your body's not getting enough water, but we lose it from breathing, sweating, urinating. And so the replacement of water and liquids through food is really important for our body. Even losing 1% of fluids from our body can cause significant dehydration.
So tell us about how HydraCup works. Is it a device? How does it work?
Yeah, the HydraCup is a smart cup with a sensor down the side, electronics in the base, and it's a cup like any other, a mug that can record hot or cold drinks, and it records millimeter by millimeter what somebody drinks and then sends it to our HydraTrack app, or it sends it directly into care management systems. Now, what the data that's coming through from the cup can tell us is behavior habits of somebody drinking, when cups are being delivered to somebody, how much somebody drinks, when they're most likely to drink throughout the day. And when you look at that data over a period of time, you can start to see warning signs of deterioration, of changes in someone's behavior. So actually, carers can go in and, before deterioration happens, support that person. So it's a smart cup, and it's as simple as that. We're tracking fluids through the cup. They go in the dishwasher. They're to be used in care environments. We know the difference between a sip, a spill, and a pour, so that when a cheeky chap pours it in a plant pot, we know that that's not fluid consumption.
When we first discussed about this topic, and we were thinking about, you know, what are some areas of this topic that we can approach, one of the things that really came strong for me was the fact that, you know, UK is a developed country. And if in the UK we're struggling with dehydration to this extent, mm-hmm. What's happening around the world? Tell us a bit about Exactly this. Why do you think we need to worry about hydration in a developed country like UK? And what's the hope for other countries who are not as developed as the UK?
I think we'd agree that unless it's a serious, you're severely sick or you're a serious athlete, so often we don't think about dehydration in a developed country. That's probably because we have clean drinking water, we turn on a tap, and it becomes something of the everyday that we don't think about. In developing countries, dehydration becomes so much more of a serious issue, and often a side effect of poor infrastructure. And if people aren't getting enough water on a day-to-day basis, and it's meaning that likely nothing in their environment is getting enough water, which means often people are forced to be drinking their bathing or washing clothes water, or water that can often have raw sewage in it. And this then becomes contaminated with diseases and bacteria. So the fact that we have clean drinking water is incredible, and we're seeing more and more work to improve water supplies across the world. In terms of the UK, I think our bodies are designed to tell us when we're thirsty. We feel the sensation of thirst, but many of us will turn to a pop, caffeine, and the truth is these drinks are actually making our dehydration worse in a lot of ways. Causing our brain to think that that signal of thirst has been completed, but actually we've turned to a nap or food. And yeah. When we get weak, we then have a headache, and we think we need to eat something, but actually what we really need to do is drink. And so in a developed country like ours, really the elderly are most at risk, because their mechanism for thirst grows weaker as they age. Those with dementia have a 600% higher chance of dehydration because they simply forget to drink, or they forget to ask for a drink.
No, I absolutely agree. And I think what's another problem with elderly is mobility, and the fact that some of them are living on their own, and it's quite challenging, to stand up, go to the kitchen, pour yourself a cup of water. So the whole logistics around drinking water becomes a bit more, maybe less natural than for younger people who are more active, who are always on the go. So I think definitely the elderly people seem to be the ones that are the most vulnerable and at risk. So I'm glad you thought about them through your grandmother, and you came up with this really brilliant idea. Whilst you were describing the electronic device, I was thinking about how easy it is now to track something, even something like dehydration, for a parent who's maybe living abroad, and you might not have the convenience to go and check in with them every single day. Or if you have parents like I do, who are always saying that everything is fine, you will never know the truth, you see, and you won't be able to prevent some health issues to develop in time. I would like us to go back to the research around hydration. What did the research commissioned by Adequate revealed about hydration levels in the UK? And is HydroCup connected in this way with Adequate, or how do I pronounce this, Rebecca?
Aquarate,
yes, Aquarate.
So aqua, like water, and accurate water.
Mm-hmm.
Was the name behind it.
Aquarate.
So, yeah, our research reveals that a quarter of the UK are not drinking enough. 17% of us say that we often feel dehydrated, and a further 13% say they don't know the symptoms. And it would suggest that we are not getting enough liquids to remain healthy. Other research has revealed that 75% within the US of adults are chronically dehydrated at all times, which is leading to decreased kidney function, urinary tract infections, and even dementia. There's actually research that's come out in healthy adults that reveals that a lack of fluids in the body can change our hormone levels, and it can even reduce our blood flow to the heart, causing cardiac issues later on. So something as simple as making sure that you're drinking your 2 liters or your 8 cups a day can have a significant impact on your health later down the line. And I think some of this research is shocking, but the truth is the research on hydration has only just begun in many ways around how our chronic dehydration on a day-to-day basis is actually affecting our body. And what we're trying to do at Accurate is see how we can measure fluids so we know how much people are drinking over a period of time and look at that over a year, 2 years, and really start to see how that then is affecting some of these issues.
Did you notice, I'm not sure exactly what's the stage of your research, but did you notice an improvement since people started to use HydraCare?
We're seeing one story, I guess, that I'll share, was that a woman who was caring for her father at the time. Her father was often unresponsive. He was quieter in his old age, suffering with dementia. She said her sister came running through and immediately thought something was wrong. And she immediately thought something was wrong with her dad. But instead, it was to tell me that he was like his old self again and joking about his football team. Mm-hmm. And that was because he'd started to increase his fluids over the first 3 days, and it meant he was reactive and he was alert and he was more cognitive than they'd seen in a really long time. And I think we see that more and more, that as we're working with dementia patients, we're seeing that dehydration can mimic the symptoms of dementia often. And actually, first and foremost, we need to be pumping fluids and the right amount of fluid into people's bodies.
That's a very interesting case. I never thought about the fact that the lack of hydration can mimic the. So basically, what you're saying is that if you're not hydrated enough, it might look like you have some symptoms of dementia, or it might look like that the symptoms are more severe. Is that correct? Due to lack of water.
Mild dehydration is our headaches, our tiredness, dry lips, but very quickly it can turn into something a lot more serious. And actually, often we're seeing it can affect cognitive ability.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's why falls happen. Mm-hmm.
I know that you designed HydraCup with your grandmother in your mind, and almost, you know, thinking about elderly people. But I also think, Rebecca, that this device can be very interesting for younger individuals. And that's because we tend to be quite competitive these days, and gadgets and devices that are measuring our health, well-being, are really, you know, on trend these days. And it's quite rewarding to actually have something that is showing you at all times your level of hydration, and it's keeping you, you know, very connected with the health of your body. So I think that that's quite an interesting product, not just for elderly people, but for all of us, because including children, to be fair, I don't think that children are drinking enough water. I think there's a tendency for them to go for more soft drinks or, but pure water, I don't think is necessarily the first choice of a child. So I think your product is not necessarily, it might be designed for elderly people in mind, but I think actually it can reach to every single one of us, especially during hot summer days. We will be back after a few commercial messages with Rebecca Taylor. We will continue our conversation about dehydration. I really want to explore with Rebecca the consequences of dehydration for specific groups, and that is leading to unnecessary deaths, for example, and also to explore some other areas like care system and how can HydraCup be introduced to care systems. So we'll be back in just a few minutes. moments.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And we're back with Rebecca Taylor. We're discussing HydraCare and we're discussing the importance of staying hydrated. Before our commercial break, Rebecca was introducing us into the world of hydration, and she was discussing about her personal experience when she noticed her grandmother wasn't receiving the, it was hard for her to receive the right amount of care because she was living further away from Rebecca and her family, and that, you know, hydration played a really important part in her her care. Rebecca, you talked quite a bit about the importance of dehydration, and we talked about the importance, especially for vulnerable people like elderly people, for example. Do you think that this is as severe as potentially causing death without even noticing that that is the cause? What have you noticed? What did you read? I know you're doing a lot of research on this topic. Tell us a bit about that. How bad is it?
So often dehydration is a primary cause, and often deaths are associated with secondary issues such as urinary tract infections, falls, kidney issues. But these deaths are actually at their fundamentals starting from people being dehydrated. And more research will start to come out around the direct correlation between deaths and dehydration. If you think about water, it really makes our internal organs function effectively. So dehydration is leading to those severe complications, causing seizures, swelling of the brain, kidney failure, and in many cases, shock, coma, resulting in death.
So you talked about the care system, the current care system, and the fact that even in NHS, there's no way to track hydration electronically. So everything is happening on a paper. Is that correct?
At the moment, if you can still believe it's a manual task. And when I speak to NHS trusts, they have a huge digital program in place, changing all of their tasks into a digital way of monitoring. And the one item that they couldn't digitalize 5 years ago was fluid balance charts. They were still paper-based. And I think what was interesting for me was the fact that these charts are still being completed. They're still mandatory. If somebody needs their fluid monitoring, they have to go on a fluid balance chart. And yet there is a really high consensus of these obviously don't work, they're inaccurate, and yet carers are still filling them in because I guess that's the best tool at the time that they had.
Yeah, well, absolutely, because if they would have a choice, I don't see why they wouldn't go for it, isn't it? So if someone is in care, whose responsibility is to keep those in care hydrated, you think?
Ultimately, people have a choice over what they put in their body, and I think it's very important to remember that, to provide choice, nice drinks, cold drinks, their preferred choice, not just giving water or a cup of tea. And it's our own personal responsibility to keep hydrated. Although when it comes to care, it can be difficult if somebody's suffering with particular issues such as dementia, cognitive illnesses, And it can be as simple as people forgetting to drink. In that case, it is the carer's responsibility to make sure people are drinking enough.
Well, what's happening if they're drinking too much? You know, if the residents or the person who, I don't know, a random person hits their fluids levels and drinks too much. What can it be a negative impact? Could it affect it in any way?
Sometimes it wouldn't matter. And I think individuals, sometimes we see really little ladies that actually they're never going to be able to drink that 2 liters a day. That's just never what their body has done. And it's their normal to drink less. But often, depending on medication that a person can be on, drinking too much fluid can actually interact with that medication, causing fluid overload, fluid retention. Really, what in the care system we're looking for, a fluid balance. So the fluid that's going in is coming back out. And if it's not coming out, so there's issues maybe with their kidneys or incontinence, then it would mean that there would be fluid overload in their body, and this then becomes serious. So it's a constant balance of what does that person need from a fluid point of view? Do you put them on a fluid target to get them drinking enough so their body's working efficiently? Or do you put them on a fluid restriction and make sure that they're only having, say, 600 milliliters a day when that's appropriate?
So what's happening if residents put their drinks away? Does it still track as being drunk or...?
Yeah, we see an awful lot of cases of residents, they might throw it on themselves, they might throw it in a plant pot. Our residents in the UK are cheeky, you know, they've got a sense of humour, they're like anyone else, and they like to play around with the care staff an awful lot of the time. And so, on a serious note, drinks can be spilt and there's issues there. And so our cup is really only looking at fluid consumption. And that's really important because we're going to have a device that tracks. It's got to track just the fluid that's being drunk.
And that's very clever because, for example, if someone is in care and the nurse gives them a cup and when she returns, she's expecting them to drink when she returns, she sees that the cup is empty. The assumption is that the whole liquid was drunk, isn't it? But what HydroCup does is actually showing how much it was, drunk by the person rather than spilt. I think that's very clever because it's not misleading, right? It's factual data. And talking about types of drinks, I know you touched a bit on that, but I'm just curious to find a bit more about the type of liquids that can be put into a cup. Clearly, you can put water. You mentioned hot drinks. You mentioned cold drinks. But can they cope with thickened fluids? Let's say maybe a smoothie or sometimes medicine is mixed with water and giving to residents or people that need specific care. Can HydroCup help with that?
HydroCup can take up to thickened fluid level 2. So basically any fluid that can be drunk from a cup, when a spoon needs to be involved or when, you know, the fluid becomes too gloopy, it would not be suitable for the cup. And that's why we have manual fluid entry. So, of course, there are going to be other fluids that can't go in a cup. You know, somebody might bring in a can of Coke or want to drink out of a particular bottle. And that way, manual fluids can be recorded on our app manually also. But the majority of drinks can go in our HydroCup.
All right. So on the app, because you mentioned that you have a place where it records the activity from HydroCup, but there's also the option for manual input, right? For any other type of liquids that are a bit more thicker than what HydroCup will accept. Is that correct?
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. That's very clever. How large is HydroCup in milliliters?
It takes 250 milliliters water. It's like a standard mug that you might have.
Yeah.
And that's the question a lot of our care staff ask, how many milliliters does it take? But actually, that's because they're so used to looking at a cup and with their eye going, how many milliliters is in that cup, and having to track it. But what we're saying is the cup could be any size and any shape. We will track what's been drunk. And so you can almost take that mental load of going, what is somebody drinking? How much is in that cup? When have they had those drinks? That mental load that those care staff are carrying can be removed, and they can just look at the information through the app that can link into their care system to see an accurate overview of somebody's hydration health.
So how do carers have access to this data from HydroCup?
So with our HydroTrack app, we provide a login to our web application, and they can simply log in with their organization's
login. Yeah. So let's go back to the carers, because it looks like HydroCup doesn't just help the resident, but also has a really good impact on the carer's life at work. So what are some of the benefits for the carers if you are to promote this this product with a care home, for example? What are the first things that you will say to the carers to encourage them to use HydroCup?
First of all, they're doing a really good job at monitoring fluids today. They're doing the very best that they can with a manual chart that isn't serving them very well. And so what HydroCare is doing is tracking in real time for quality care, so that information is there at their hand, so that they can provide that quality care. Perhaps they've got time to actually sit with somebody and give them that drink. And it means less time reporting. So there's so much time reporting from a monitoring and also a reviewing of charts. And we've taken that out completely, so that the data is just there for it to be viewed. And then reports can be seen on how somebody's drinking, what that looks like over a period of time. And care staff can actually evidence that the quality of care has been given. In the UK, that's for the CQC, our compliance that comes in to regulate, and also to evidence to family and loved ones that their loved one is getting enough to drink.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair point. Quite often, you know, when you have someone in care, you know, it happens in my family, we always think, are they taken care of properly? Do they have what they need? And having a device like this, including water, you know, they drink enough water. That's always one of our questions when we connect with the care home. But having a device that will enable us to see all this data in real time, or at least for the nurse or the carer to provide this factual data, I think it does take a lot of burden off someone's shoulders, especially because, you know, taking your parents, for example, or grandparents into care, it's also very difficult choice and a psychological strain for some of us. You know, not everyone takes this decision very lightly. And the fact that there is some data there that you can look at and some clear facts, I think it's quite reassuring that, you know, you've done the right thing. Someone is taking care of them. So I think HydroCup almost goes beyond its initial purpose, which is to hydrate people. I think it also has some other implications that are more psychological. So definitely sounds like a really, really great idea. In terms of storing the data and retaining the data, does HydroCup have a certain amount of time limit? For example, it can remember the data for 6 months, for example, or what's the longest period that you can record data on HydroCup app?
So it's currently on a month-by-month overview, and that's mm-hmm. what you can see on the app. We're obviously in the background collecting data for a longer period of time, and reports can be printed off for a longer period of time. But the core information is what is happening over that month period, because that's enough to show family and care staff that there is a change in behavior mm-hmm. or if there's any deterioration happening.
All right. So let's have 2 minutes of commercial breaks. And then when we're back, I would like to understand why HydroCare is different from other smart cups on the market. And I would like us to to look at some other things related to the costs. What does it mean for care homes if they adopt Hydra Care? But let's take 2 minutes of break and we'll come back with Rebecca Taylor, the inventor of Hydra Care.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And we're back with Rebecca. We're discussing dehydration. We're discussing Hydra Care. We're discussing about the importance of adopting Hydra Care in care homes to improve the life of the residents by monitoring their hydration levels, but also to improve the day-to-day work and activity of the carers who currently have to record manually the levels of hydration for patients in care. How is Hydra Care different from other smart cups on the market, Rebecca?
Hydra Care is looking at plugging data into care monitoring systems to see accurate data for our care market. And that's the real difference. It can be used for family members, can be used in the home, in NHS, in the care sector. And at the moment, there are no other devices at market that is doing this. We see a few smart bottles that are plugging into an app that are maybe looking at that everyday drinking, but we've seen a real gap for looking after our elderly with hydration, and that's where deaths are occurring. That's where I believe that our elderly are valuable members of society. We should be doing everything that we can to make sure that they're having the best quality of care at their end of life, knowing that that's going to be our position one day, and to be able to have accurate data of what somebody's drinking is really the difference.
In terms of costs, what is the cost for Hydra Care?
We currently have Hydra Care as a subscription basis. So we take it on organization by organization. It's a cost per user, and that means that they have everything they need bundled together in that. So it's a very simple cost structure.
Have you ever thought about bringing Hydra Care to corporations, for example, as a staff benefit maybe? Because I think that might be a good idea to promote hydration in the workplace.
We'd love to. I'd say for anyone that's listening that has real interest in that, please go to our website and sign up, because within the next 12 to 18 months, you'll start to see some of these products coming out for us when we look at... though you mentioned before you mentioned before that people like to be in competition. In a workplace, it would be fantastic, because there are so many workplaces where it's hot, where you're overworked, that it's physical straining, and actually having that fluid can increase efficiencies.
Productivity, yes, at work.
Productivity at heart, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's why I thought it's very interesting, because I do see, you know, in the trains, you see people all the time with their little cup, but quite often I actually paid attention to that. That's basically what they're drinking throughout the day. And that's not much. Usually you're looking at 500 milliliters. You can top up with a coffee, for example, but that doesn't really count as hydration 100%. Still not enough water. So who are you working with at the moment? Is someone, are any organizations who are using Hydra Care system? Tell us a bit about that.
We're working with a number of local authorities and care home groups, and all over at the highest governance level, we're seeing hydration improvement projects being taken really seriously at this time. We have a tool that's simple and effective for the care system. And so local authorities are taking HydroCare to see a reduction in antibiotic use and to see an improvement of making sure that residents are not going into hospital unnecessary.
So what's the general feedback from the customers that have started to use HydroCare? In a nutshell, Rebecca.
I've seen care home managers actually shocked at the difference in what they were recording manually to what the HydroCup tracks. They've never been able to see this data before. And actually, we're seeing that often more fluid is being drunk than thought. And then that becomes a worry because they shouldn't be drinking so much fluid. And so it's not just about the lack of fluid, but often just having an accurate oversight of what is being drunk throughout the day. We're seeing, as I say, local authorities using the system on the enormous intake of overprescription of antibiotics. This is a huge problem. More and more of us are getting antimicrobial resistance, meaning that our bacteria is changing so that antibiotics no longer work. This is often because people are getting urinary tract infections and kidney problems. So we're seeing a reduction in those as more and more people are being hydrated.
Rebecca, you mentioned that anyone who's listening can go online and check out HydroCup. Please tell us about your social media links, about your website, so we can, you know, go online and order. Can we order as individuals, or does it need to be as part of a larger organization? How does it work in practice?
Our website is aquarate.com. That's AQUARATE. And you can find us on all of our social channels at Aquarate. And we'd be happy to speak to organisations or individuals that are caring for somebody. Please reach out. We can support you with hydration management. At the moment, we're servicing organisations to support the hydration. But if you're an individual with interest in this, then please go to our website. You can sign up. We'll keep you informed. And when there's a product ready with lots of different options for styles and different cups and bottles, you'll be the first to know how you can get your hands on our product.
Rebecca, thank you very much for your time today. It's been really interesting hearing more about hydration. I've never explored this topic before. I never really paid attention to it before. But I will for now, because you made some very clear points on the importance of hydrating. Not necessarily if you're someone, you know, in care or in need of extra support, but for everyone in general. I was providing at the beginning of our conversation a statistic according to which 40% of Brits don't drink enough water, and I think this number might be actually lower than that, to be fair, because, you know, we get fooled by the fact that we're drinking coffees or we're drinking, maybe other fluids. Well, the reality is that water is kind of the savior, isn't it, Rebecca?
That's right. We need water to keep our body functioning. And it's really important that we can build healthy hydration habits at a younger age to make sure that we are healthy when we get older.
Absolutely. And I've noticed the effects even on skin. You know, I can see when I'm drinking enough water, the skin, my skin looks better. So the effects are almost immediate for some of us. Well, best of luck, Rebecca. I hope you'll get a lot of success with HydroCup. I think it's a good product. I think it's worth, you know, your time and effort. And I think, the purpose of this this product it comes from the heart. It comes from personal experience, and I wish you the best of luck and success.
Thank you so much, and please keep hydrated.
Absolutely. Have you ever seen Rain is Creedence Clearwater Revival best-selling single to date. The song reached number one in Canada and 8 in Billboard Hot 100 chart in the US in its year of release, 1971. Let's listen now to Rod Stewart's version of this song, Have You Ever Seen the Rain? Until next time, may we hear only good things.